The 18-wheeler that we have on the property, 1387. So we're getting that together. And so we're believing prayerfully that on the third Sunday of this month, we'll have our first drive-in on our campus. All right, yeah. I thank God for it because it's going to offer us an opportunity to get into our system of driving 1387, getting to 1387, right? And so we'll have our first drive-in prayerfully on the third Sunday of this month. If we don't do it on the third, if it doesn't happen on the third Sunday, it will happen on the second Sunday in December. We'll start in December, okay? But we'll let you know you get plenty of time to get yourself prepared and all that to be a part of that service. And I am so excited. As you know, Tuesday, before we get going with our message, is Election Sunday. It's Election Tuesday, right? And so if you have not already gone to vote, and I have already done it, and I think many of you have already done it also, please do not miss the opportunity to go and let your voice be heard to vote for someone in all of these elections. Now listen, I'm going to say this every service today. I don't want anybody to be confused by the rhetoric that continues to be spewed out no matter which network you listen to. All right? Everybody say, what is it, Matt? I said, everybody say, what is it, Matt? I'm glad you all want to know. God is still in control. All right? Some people will say that depending on who wins, the world is coming to an end. Or America will never be America again. Well, depending on what side you're sitting on, America has never been America for what it was supposed to be for everybody. So I don't want anybody to think that life is going to be lost depending on who wins. That we have to look at it in reality that we don't know come Wednesday morning what the climate is going to be here in America. Is everybody with me? But again, God is in control. So any form of politics, will never be the answer for the world. Jesus is still the answer. If politics was the answer, well, it can't be the answer because every 4 years it changes. Sometimes every eight years it changes. So politics has never been the answer, everybody. So we vote to let our voices be heard as citizens of this land, but we don't lean on whatever the verdict is to tell us how life is going to be. Our lives are in the hands of God. All right? And so I don't want any of you to allow any of the rhetoric going on to make you feel some kind of way like, I don't know if I can, what tomorrow's going to hold. I don't know if I feel like I can't breathe, so much tension going on. Relax. Relax. God is in control. All right? Again, if politics was the answer, things would have been satisfied a lot better by now. But the same problems that I voted about on the other day are the same issues I voted about last 4 years. And the same for issues I voted about term before that. It doesn't change. We will always have comfort. What did Jesus say? In this world, there will be trouble. But take heart, if I have overcome them all. Once again, our hope is in the Lord. So I don't care who you vote for. That's your business. I'll say one last thing, and then I'll move on. At the end of the day, you have to decide on which pile of poop you want to deal with for the next 4 years. At the end of the day, which pile of poop are you going to be happy with for the next 4 years? Because both sides is poopy. All right? It's stinky. On one side, it stinks. You got one set of issues. On the other side, another set of issues. And as believers, none of this is going to satisfy where we are because our hope is in the Lord. Again, which pile of poop do you want to hold and smell for the next 4 years? All right. On today, we're going to start a brand new series. Are you ready? The title of our series this month, as we jump into typically November is our stewardship month. So the title of our series is this, The Opportunities in an Outbreak. The opportunities in an outbreak, all right? And today the title of our sermon is The Purpose of Giving. the purpose of giving found in Acts 4, 31 through 36. All right? Acts 4, 31 through 36. So as you know, we build our church on these five scales of balance. So I know you all have been around long enough to know that every series that I preach, it falls into one of these scales of balance. We have five scales, being balanced spiritually, being balanced physically. Last month in the dealing with the minefield, that series, we were dealing with being balanced emotionally. And as we're in this season of voting, we're being balanced socially. And for this month, we're going to lean on being balanced financially. So to understand the purpose of why we give, we're going to dive into that this month. And I pray that this series encourages some, motivates some, and then pushes others to do what we know that we have been called to do when it comes to us as believers being good stewards. Somebody say amen. Being good stewards of the resources God has given us. Let me begin by saying, as we jump into this whole idea of giving, that I understand, and you're going to have an amount of grace to deal with people, because I understand why it could be a questionable thing for you to join a group of people and they tell you that you're supposed to give 10% of your income to the organization. Wouldn't that, if you were not raised in the church, wouldn't you have an issue with that? Yeah, come on, talk to me now. Wouldn't you not have a question about that? Somebody tell you, when you join this, we want to come on in. You mean so much to us. We'll be there for you. This is a community of people that love one another. You got to give us 10% of all that you make. Wouldn't you have some issues? Wouldn't you want to know, well, what's going on with that? What is the purpose in me doing that? Wouldn't you want to know? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that is something that as a shepherd, as a pastor, I have to make sure that we're all on the same page biblically for all the things that the church is asking for, not just the church, but that God puts on the table through the living word as our responsibility as his sons and daughters. All right? I've always tried to be clear, and we're going to continue to be clear with this. So the purpose of giving found in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 36. And we're going to jump and we're going to read that. But before we get there, I want to make sure that we got some foundational things, okay? So I have to ask you a question about this. Regarding how you look at money and regarding to what God has given you, have you determined when enough is enough? Have you made that choice? Have you sat down to calculate in your mind and with your heart, when is enough, literally enough? If we don't come to some type of conclusion, we will find our days being filled with going after stuff, trying to get the latest and the greatest. My son brought up yesterday that iPhone, by the time he gets an iPhone 11, it's because somebody older has already got an iPhone 12. So he's banking on somebody else getting a 12 so that he can get their hand-me-down so he can at least have an 11. Always going after. Not just you, son. All right. You're all right. But we are always going after the next thing because we have not satisfied in our minds when literally is enough. Enough. Even after God allows us to pay some stuff off, we dig, we climb out of that particular hole. And unless statistics say in less than 9 months, we're back into a hole that's deeper than the first one. When is enough going to be enough? My challenge for myself and for you all today is that it's really not about money. The real issue is about our heart. I'll say it again. The issue is not about money, because the average American, we have enough money. But our enough money is not enough for all of our bills and what our eyes want to purchase. And so if we're not careful, we will spend more than what we have. My grandma would say, you have more month than you do money. So by the time the end of the month arrives, you still have bills to pay from 1 month. So now you have to rob Peter to pay Paul to handle next month's expenses. So we have to answer the question, when is enough literally going to be enough? And there is a pattern of giving. I want to make sure we're clear, but just real quickly, put this on your table. There's the first pattern of giving, the law of first mention regarding giving is found in Genesis chapter 14. So jot down Genesis 14. It is there that Abram gives an offering to Melchizedek. All right? And the purpose of this offering is because God gave Abram victory. Therefore, Abram gave an offering to Melchizedek, whom is the king of Salem and also a high priest. All right, so everybody write that down, Genesis 14. That's what we call the law of first mention. That's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible of a tithe is in Genesis chapter 14. Now, this is also the picture of Jacob giving an offering too, but we're just for the first mention, just for the time's sake time. Verse number 20 says, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Everybody say, first mention, Abrahamic giving. All right. Mosaic giving. Jot down Leviticus 27 and 30. So you have Abrahamic giving, and now you have Mosaic giving. A tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, is the Lord and is holy. That's Mosaic giving. That's the law that God gave to Moses, that Moses then in turn gives to the people of Israel. Jot down also, Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So now we see a pattern put in place. The Abrahamic giving. And now the Mosaic giving. Everybody see the pattern? Now let's look at Jesus giving real quick. This is post-law. In Matthew 22, 21 and 21, the scripture says, but Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying taxes. They brought him a denarii. And he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said, so give back to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's. All right. In Matthew 23 and 23, now these two verses are real easy to remember, 21, 21, 23, 23. All right, everybody got to lock that in so you can have that in your scripture memory. So Matthew 23, 23 says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So there is a balance there of some that try to give, but they don't act like they're a Christian. As if giving supersedes your attitude. As if giving supersedes your behaviors. Everybody say you got to have your behaviors in check. All right, because some, not you, but some people are not balanced. They want to give a big check, and so they expect to have some luxuries in the church. They want to have a pew with their family's name etched in. They just, not you, but just some people. They give, and they want some responses, some greater responses, but that's not what we do. In Luke 6:38, which is our core passage for this series, I'm going to read it how the Message Bible says it. Luke 6:38 says, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You will find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You will find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessings. Giving not getting is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what the King James says. So literally, this idea, once again, about how we give has less to do with our money and more to do with us literally giving our lives to the Lord. Good measure, shaken down, pressed again, and running over. This is not about you writing a check. This is about you giving God your whole heart. I'll say it again because many of us struggle, even as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God, we have struggled with our finances and how we should give and what we should give. Instead of us giving because we have a heart to give, we're giving reluctantly. We're giving trying to barter with God. We have bought into this prosperity idea that I give according to my need and God is going to answer my cry and give me my answer my need because I'm going to give this. And that's not sound biblical understanding of giving. Don't look away. Don't give yourself away. Look at me. Some of us have given away our mortgage money, given away our rent money, our car note, in the expectation that God was going to give us a husband, a house, a car, a better job, and you're still broke, lonely. And we gave it all away because the church said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure. And that passage is dealing with our hearts, not what's in our bank accounts. So you have a challenge in your life, my friends. You have the challenge to understand as you help people understand about the purpose of giving. It's not for us to get anything out of it. What we're going to see in Acts chapter 4 is that the giving was for the people. The purpose of giving, everybody say back at me, it's for the people. I can't hear you say that the purpose of giving is who? It's for the people. So look with me in this passage, and we're going to move as quickly as we can. The word of the Lord says this. Verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Everybody say it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of the Lord boldly. So if we're going to, the purpose of giving will only make sense. Here's the first thing. It will only make sense if we are not filled with the same spirit. So it's not going to make sense, y'all, the whole art of giving, if we are not filled with the same spirit. You see, if we are filling with contrasting spirits, we will always give ourselves, we'll release ourselves to always question. Not you, but this is what some people do. Well, I don't know if I'm going to give. I don't know where the money is going. Y'all see Reb had on a new pair of shoes. He had a new T-shirt on. So Reb getting all the money. Right, right. It gives us a license to ask questions. Why? Because we're not living with the same spirit. And if we're not living in the same spirit with our eyes on the same things, we will license ourselves, give ourselves the freedom and liberty to question everybody and everything so often that we don't have to do it. And it's interesting to me how we question everything about the church, but we never question that bill when it comes in. Whatever it says, we just pay it. I mean, they change the rates of this insurance almost every 6 months. We're like, well, I guess it's the cost of insurance, and we just pay it. But the moment the preacher say, can we sacrificially give $1,000 for this? Well, I don't know. Where is it going? I don't know. I don't know, really. $1,000. $1,000. You know how hard it is to make $1,000? Well, yeah. I'm with you. Just don't give it if it's that hard of a struggle. You won't even pray about it, Lord. Will you bless me with it? I don't have it. We know that's why it's called sacrifice. Okay. So we have to be filled with the same Spirit. And you know this passage in Ephesians 5 and 18. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein excess, but what? Be filled with what? There is nothing about this salvific journey that makes sense if you're not filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I'll say it again. There is nothing about living holy that makes sense if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. What sense does it make for me to continue to make money and buy shoes for kids that they need a new pair of shoes every other month? Stuff your foot in there. It don't make sense for me to love my wife and she keeps finding that nerve, that reserve nerve that I've been putting to the side trying to hold. And she keeps, that don't make sense for me to love her as Christ of the church. She's wrong about some stuff. It does not make sense for me to give to the Lord's house and I need something in my house. It don't make good sense, y'all. But none of this salvific walk makes sense if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with some other kind of spirit. That spirit that gives us the license to still go out and make a mess with our finances, but then we come to church and want God to come in and deliver us out. You do know the answer to wealth is a job. And once you get a job, now you become a steward of what God gives you. Is that making sense, y'all? So if we're going to understand the purpose of giving, we got to have the same spirit. Understand the context of this particular passage in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, the church is going through persecution. You understand that Peter and John have been thrown into the pen because they were preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter said, the reason why I'm preaching about Christ is because you killed him. I'm talking about him being resurrected because you killed him. And in the midst of this, an outbreak happens. Then y'all read it. While they were meeting, the house was shaking. That's an outbreak. We got an outbreak going on right now, too. And the easy outbreak that we can put our hands on is this COVID-19. That's an easy outbreak. Everybody sees that one. How about we're still living in the outbreak of sin? That in the church house, in God's house, we still have his sons, God's sons and God's daughters, questioning the validity and the accuracy of the scriptures. Y'all, it's an outbreak going on. That we come Sunday after Sunday, we get online Sunday after Sunday, we're reading scripture every day of the week, but we're still questioning the authority of the scriptures. There's an outbreak going on. And I'm not talking about folks on the outside, I'm talking about children, sons and daughters of God. We're questioning the validity of our Father's voice because we don't like what Dad is saying, the Holy Father is saying. We got to have the same spirit, everybody. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who's above all, in all, and through all. And if we don't share that same spirit, it will continue to give you the license to have an issue with everything that comes out of the church house. Because we're not being ruled by the same spirit. We got to move on. Look at verse 32. It says this. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. The purpose of giving will only make sense. will not make sense, if you're not living or existing united. It's not going to make sense, y'all, if you're not living and existing united. The reason why it won't make sense is because your heart and mind will be focused on just you and what's happening in your house. And there comes a moment as mature believers that we have to look beyond our own stuff. Because there are people that are struggling and need help from a source that's not going to try to take anything from them. You see, if you take help from the government, they're going to want something in return. I'll say it, you know. Y'all can say I said it. I'll say it again. If you get help from the government, sooner or later they're going to want something in return. When the whole idea of welfare came, the thought of it was good, but when you had to negate having a man in the home, it became a problem, you all. when daddy had to go hide under the bed when they came around to make sure everything was right. That's a problem. They gave a check, but daddy had to leave the house when they came to inspect the house. That's a problem, y'all. If you take money from any other source except the church, it comes with some things in the background. So the y'all, the fight idea here, excuse me, is the fact that if we're not living and existing united, we're going to have a problem with following with the text, because the scripture says that no one felt that their own possessions were just theirs. So that means your car was everybody's car. Now, Rev, you about to mess up today. Because I can't let everybody in my Pinto. I just can't now. I just can't do it. I can't do it, Rev. That means that means that my house was your house. That means that the access to get into my house, I give it to you. Now, for a lot of, not you, but for a lot of Christians, we just lost everybody. Because you don't know what I did to get to this. You don't know how I had to work and give to get this. Now, listen, hear my heart. I'm not saying that you got to give every Christian access to your home. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if we give our lives to God, everything that God has given us is not ours. He gave it to us to be a blessing to somebody else. That's the purpose of having a heart to give. I am not reluctant in blessing others. Now, you all, it makes common sense to know if somebody needs $100 and you only have 50, you can't give them 100. So don't make this thing so deep. Don't make it so deep. You give what you have to give. And you don't have to pray about everything. Because some, not you, because you're all in church, but some folks, they got to pray about giving somebody, now, Lord, this is $5. And you know what, I can give me a whole meal for $5. You want me to get this $5 to help? Yeah, give the $5. Not you, but tell the person beside you, don't be immature. All right. So listen, the idea, the thought is, we've got to learn how to live in unity. Listen, this is not the first time we see this. In Acts chapter 2, the first church. You all have read this. They sold their possessions, and they gave to others that had need. Now, by the time we get to chapter 4, not only have they given so that those can satisfy their needs, now they're saying their stuff is just already mine. So you don't have to give it to me, because we love each other so much that what's mine is yours. Use it. Y'all, look at the text. I'm not making up nothing. The text says, no one claimed that any one of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. What's the problem with the church today? We don't like to share. At the end of the day, we can draw a line right there. We are some stingy creatures. Not just as individuals, but as the body of Christ. What my church has is our church. I can say this because I have experienced some stingy churches. That's the only reason why I can say it. I'm not making this up. I remember asking the church, can we borrow your popcorn maker, your popcorn machine? We have an event. Well, I don't know, Brother Demetrius. I don't know, Brother Mac. I don't know if we can do that. You know, it has to be clean. You think we're not going to clean it after we use it? You know, I'm like, stingy. But the moment they need something, Brother Matt, can you come and pray for our Unity Sunday? No, I ain't coming to pray for no Unity Sunday. Don't use no stanky pop machine. Want me to come and pray for Unity Sunday? No, go to hell. No, There's a problem when we're not willing to live and exist together, everybody. Now get this, hear my heart well. We're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Christ died for all of us, and we recognize Christ's death and resurrection. We have a hard time sharing with one another. As if to say, if I give it to you, just remember me. I got a list, and I'm checking it twice. Now, you remember in 79? Remember in 07 when y'all first started? I let you borrow some straws. We have to come to the place where we're willing to live and exist in unity. Look at verse 33 through 34. It says this. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Write this down, if you will. The purpose of giving will not make sense if we stop conversating about Christ. If we ever stop talking about Christ, it'll never make sense for us to give. When you look at the narrative of the scriptures, the narrative of the entire Bible, it's about Jesus Christ. Every text you read in the Bible gives its reference to who Jesus is. Either talking about Christ as the coming Messiah the first time, talking about Christ as the living Messiah, or talking about Christ as the coming Messiah the second time, but it's all about Jesus Christ. If we ever lose our rhetoric and our speech about Christ, we ought to, as the church, we ought to just shut up, period. We cannot know more about political parties. We cannot know more about whatever profession you're in than you know who Jesus is. At the end of the day, knowing how to do math, knowing how to sell Americade is wonderful, but it does not give eternal life. All right. If you look at the past, go back to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter says this. He says in verse number 17, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Peter and John were talking about Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. They were not talking about the church having this need and what the church was doing, giving and sharing. No, what got them in trouble was talking about Jesus. And if there's anything we ought to be fine with, you ought to be fine that if I get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble living and talking about Jesus. If I'm going to get thrown in jail, throw me in jail for this. If I die, let me die because I was talking about Jesus, not because I was trying to placate and get friends to partner and like me. Forget all that. If I go, I'm going to go talking about Jesus. This is what happened. This is the context of it. The reason why this outbreak is even happening is because Peter and Paul were out there telling folks that, listen, the reason why I'm talking about it is because you killed him. But you thought you had him done, but he rose. Their conversation was about Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What are you talking about? What is the majority of your conversation about? Are you so busy trying to refute this silly political stuff that you're not talking about Jesus being the answer? Or do you spend your time, I'm going from cable network to cable network, trying to hear the latest and the greatest? And if you didn't watch news, any news from March till now, and you started watching now, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The only addition is, he did that. She said that. It's still the same thing. But some of us cannot go a day without getting our fix. We got to look at MSN. We got to look at Fox. We look at CNN. We got to hear what's going on. It's still the same mess. We know more about all this other junk than we do about Jesus Christ. Our conversation, everybody, listen, our conversation has got to be about Christ. In times like these, again, we don't know what the circumstance of our day is going to look like on Wednesday. It's been rumored that you may have outbreaks of this in the city streets. Outbreaks of this on your job. But what is supposed to be the response of the church? Huh? We're supposed to talk about Jesus. We're supposed to stand on the word of God. Not bowing down and giving in to the silliness of what the world says. The purpose of our giving is not for ourselves. The purpose of our giving is to help somebody. Look at this. Look what they say. Look. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the conversation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and their houses brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is my last point, I think. The purpose of giving will not make sense if we keep it from others. All right? If we keep it from others. There's a thought that has reared its head in church settings and theological conversations and biblical conversations about giving. As we know, and then there's one thing that we want to highlight today. We're gonna squash a lot of this silly stuff that happens as we go through this series. So here's a silly thing that happens. Are you ready? Hand me my wallet. Give me my wallet real quick. All right. So let me see what I got in here. Y'all bear with me real quick. Let's see what I got in here. I got $2. I got $5. I got $10. All right. Look, that's the secret stash. Let me see. There. I got 100. Okay. All right. So I got it. I got that right there. Let me get that right there. Let me lay that out. Oh, I got a $10 bill. Put that right there. All right. Got it all turned the right way. It don't work right if it's not all turned the right way, right? I got $100 bill. Well, it's a blue line. That's a real one. All right. Got to lay it all right. Got to put it all together. Everything facing the right way. All right, good. All right. Preach it, Rev. All right, Rev. That's a good word, Rev. That's a good word. All right, Rev. Oh, man, Rev, that's good, Rev. Ooh, Rev, my God, that's a word. I'm going to put a seed on that word, Rev. So in the church today, we have moved from giving money on the stripper pole to the pulpit pole. And we disguise it by saying, oh, I'm going to put a seed on that word. Now, y'all, that don't make any good sense. It don't make any good sense. And this particular passage is what's being used to solidify throwing money on the altar. Because they gave, look at the text, I didn't make it up. They threw the money, laid the money, brought the money to the apostles' feet. Now, the problem with how we look at this and what Peter and John did is the fact that they did not keep the money for themselves. They gave to the church to satisfy the house's needs. But the way our culture is, we throw a seed on that word, and that seed goes into the preacher's pocket. Instead of being a blessing for God's people. The purpose of giving will not make sense if we keep all God's blessings to ourselves and we never become the funnel of blessing the Lord's people. Now listen, it's easy to talk about the preacher and the stripper pole. It's easy to talk about the pulpit and the pole. It's easy. Because we know about those. We can see those. Pole. And the moment I said that, everybody got a picture, like, oh. Uh-huh. And then we see the pulpit. And everybody got, okay. But how about the pole in your life? How about the pole that you're sliding around on? How about the pole you're turning around and doing your tricks on and trying to fake God out? How about the pulpit in your life that you don't talk about nothing of God? But the only thing that people see and hear from your pulpit is about yourself. Well, I got an idea. I'm going to do this business. Well, how about instead of telling folks about your business, what you want to do, how about tell folks how you respond to the goodness of the Lord? We're so busy in taking God's blessings and keeping them for ourselves that we are not the funnel that we're supposed to be in blessing somebody else. That's the purpose of giving, everybody. The purpose of giving is not to build somebody's pocketbook. The purpose of giving is so that we can give to bless somebody else. So I have to ask the question, how many people outside of those that live in your house are you frequently trying to be a blessing towards? Is there a group of people that you want to pour into? For all the Sundays of this month, I'm going to give us an organization that I believe is a great organization to give to. I've done the work to vet them out. So I know how they do their finances. So you can give to them and know that they're going to do right by what you give. I have a group for every Sunday. I also have a group, an organization for today. You want me to tell you what organization is? Your church. Uh-huh. And it'd be a shame if I didn't do it, right? So I have to tell you that there we have systems here that you can trust. I don't walk around with a checkbook in my trunk. And all of those that have been in some churches a long time, you understand the joke in that. That the preacher used to have the checkbook in the truck. And all the kids thought he was so nice. Pastor, I always give it $50. Well, because the cash is in the trunk. Yeah, he is. All right. So I don't have the checkbook of the church. I don't know how much you give. I don't go looking at all that. Hey, that's not any of my business. Everybody say, that's right, Ray. Because I can treat everybody the same. Because I don't know what anybody gives, right? But I do know how people live. And how you live says a whole lot to those that understand spiritual things on where your heart really is. So I want to challenge you as members of one church that in order for us to continue doing what we need to do and the things that we have laid out to do in the future, it happens because we consistently give to the vision that God has given to this church. It takes all of us to do our part. And we talk about this. I say this all the time. My wife and I talk about this. This is our testimony. That when we started the church, I didn't have any money. But every time I made some money, I didn't have a 9-to-5 job, right, y'all? And it's interesting. I tried to get hired somewhere. I don't know if I ever told y'all that. I tried to get hired teaching for Dallas County, right? It was a program for high schoolers. And I'm like, I'm qualified. I can teach this. And they would not hire me. The Lord shut that door. She said to me, she said, Mr. McClendon, you are qualified, but you're too qualified. I said, I ain't too qualified. Oh, no. The devil is a lie. You have been tricked. I am. I think that by the time we train you, you're going to find another position. I said, well, try me. Let's not jump to conclusions. That's what I told my wife when I tried to meet her. She said, I said, well, try me first, girl. Don't just... Oh, y'all sure heavy on the preacher this morning. But the Lord would not let me get a job anywhere else, and I tried, you understand? But he kept closing doors. So when I would make some money on the weekends, I was either leading worship somewhere or I'd get an opportunity to preach somewhere. We never stopped giving. That's the key, everybody, is that God is looking for us to walk consistently in his word. You will never work enough hours. You will never have enough connections. Our being able to be settled where we are in what God has given us is because we're giving back the way God has prescribed for us to give. So the challenge is for you. The purpose of giving leads into the purpose of your life. And the purpose of giving is so that we can give and be the light of Christ in the life of others. The context of this text says that God delivered Peter and John. And they went and they prayed and celebrated what God has done. Whatever those areas of deliverance that you need in your life, the outbreak that needs to happen is in your mouth. Confess the Lord Jesus. And as you have given your life to him, follow through in discipleship of God's word. And I just believe the best is yet to come in all of our lives. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that not only are we being challenged by what Max said, we're challenged because we read your scriptures. And the context of your scriptures speaks life to us. Speaks life to us. And so we thank you, Lord, that the pattern of giving was set through the Abrahamic giving, through the Mosaic giving, through the giving through Christ, and now the generosity of God's sons and God's daughters. So, Father, it's with a grateful heart that we continue to do our part to give to your work. Father, if we still have a question, we're still struggling with some things, let us search out counsel. Search wise counsel. So we can come to grips with our responsibility. And listen. And it's a responsibility of our older brothers and sisters, our mature brothers and sisters, not to allow us to continue to make excuses why we don't do it. Ladies, you all know what Jude said. We got to pull our brothers and sisters out of the fire. That doesn't mean pulling them out of sin. We can't do that. That's the work of Christ. But we have responsibility to not allow our siblings to continue going down the same road, being disobedient to the Father. And we don't just give because we wanted to come back. That's one of the blessings, that when we do give, it comes right back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we can do this because Christ gave us his best. His very best on the cross.